Hey folks, thanks for joining me today for Dr. Mike Live. And we want to start a little different today than we have the first couple of episodes. I want to give you a couple of announcements, let you know things that are going on that I think are important for you to know. And if you're in the area, not necessarily Ohio, but in the area where these events are going on, I encourage you to participate in them. So the first thing is there is an Ohio regional huddle for the Salt and Light Brigade on September the 29th and the 30th. That's in Bremen, Ohio. So that's southeast Ohio. So if you're in Ohio anyplace, it's going to be a couple of hour drive. West Virginia, maybe not quite that long. Western Pennsylvania, you might consider joining this. Now, if you don't know what the Salt and Light Brigade is, then I encourage you to go to CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com, or you can email coach@CoachDaveLive.com. He'd be happy to share information with you about the Salt and Light Brigade. But let me tell you this. The Salt and Light Brigade is about fellowship. It's about edification and action. Action. So if you're wanting to get out there and share the gospel, if you're wanting to get out there and talk to people, and ask them why they're thinking and doing crazy stuff, then you want to get involved with the Salt and Light Brigade in an area near you. And it's being developed all across America. So I encourage you to go there. Email Coach, like I said, coach@CoachDaveLive.com. He'll send that information. Or you can go to CoachDaveLive.com, the website, and find out. Oh, and by the way, let me encourage you to join Coach's show every Monday through Friday morning at 7 a.m. And I know some of you are thinking, 7 a.m.? I'm not even awake at 7 a.m. Well, for those of you who are, if you're awake at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday, I encourage you to join Coach Dave Live. You can go to the website, CoachDaveLive.com, join the huddle, get in on the conversation. You won't be sorry. You'll be thanking me that I gave you that information. Now, if you're with us today and you live in or are close to Wisconsin, then please consider attending the Church Arise Conference in Marshfield, October the 17th through the 21st of this year. So anywhere in Wisconsin, Minnesota, you may be close, Northern Illinois, you're going to be close. I would encourage you to check out that conference. Go to Wisconsin Christian News, the website, wisconsinchristiannews.com for more information. And or you can email Rob Pugh. Rob will be happy to share information. There you go. Thank you, Jared. Rob would be happy to share information with you. His email is rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com. Now, if you live in the Lima, Ohio area, you know, I'm going to have to throw in a plug for us. But if you live in the Lima, Ohio area, and listen, we have folks driving from over an hour away to week by week at our meetings. But if you're close to Lima, Ohio, you can't find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. I encourage you to join us on Sundays at 10:30, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. You won't be sorry that you did. You can go to our YouTube channel as well. Search for Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio, and make sure that you put Ohio, because we have a sister church in Lima. And if you just Calvary Chapel Lima, it might take you to Lima, Peru. So we have a YouTube channel. All of the sermons are up there. I encourage you to go there, or you can join us live online every Sunday morning at 10:30 or Wednesday at 7 p.m. We do broadcast our services live on the internet, and you can find those at cclohio.org, cclohio.org. Now, I'm going to start a monthly newsletter, and the reason for that is to keep people up to date on information, things that I'm doing, things that like-minded brothers and sisters are doing, ministries that I appreciate and support, like Coach Dave Live, like Wisconsin Christian News, like Alphabet Man Live. And by the way, you can join Alphabet Man Live Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. And you can find that, I believe it's on I Belong Amen Ministries. David, is that I Belong Amen?
AlphabetManLive.com.
There you go. AlphabetManLive.com. So I would encourage you to do that, folks. Get up to speed as quickly as you can on what's going on. I've got my brother and friend David Arthur joining me today for a frank discussion on a subject that, well, it's sad, it's sick, it's heartbreaking, and it's demonic. And we could add a whole bunch of other words to that description. But I think that, we just need to address it. We need to expose what's happening. A lot of folks are trying to bury it, including our media, and we're going to talk about a lot of those things in this show. But what I'm talking about is pedophilia. What I'm talking about is pedophilia, and the effort by our media to bury that. They don't want to talk about it, and I'll tell you why they don't want to talk about it. Because the folks that prop them up, their corporate sponsors, the big CEOs, Hollywood, politicians, they're all pedophiles. They're all pedophiles. And that's why our media is trying to bury this. And we're going to talk about this in detail tonight. But before we do that, if you have your Bibles, I'm trying to break that habit, because I think any time that you're joining with other brothers and sisters, you ought to have your Bible within reach. And of course, I know some people say, well, I've got a phone and an app for that. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Because here's a verse that I want to start our discussion today, our show today, Ephesians chapter 6. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand is that we don't fight against flesh and blood only. Now, I know what this passage says, Ephesians 6. I know what it says, but I'm going to point out a couple of things to you. We don't fight against flesh and blood only. What that means is we don't fight human beings only. And I say only for a reason, because we fight against demonic forces that manifest themselves in and through people.
Yes.
Demonic spiritual forces use flesh and blood people. I call them stooges. They don't even know they're being used in many cases. Now, some of them do, and they're coming out of the woodwork, and they're very open, blatant about espousing evil and worshiping Satan. And we're going to do a show. I've got that on a list of topics to do a show about at some point in the very near future, how Satanism has become a thing. Now, it's always been a thing, but it's always been hidden. Now it's coming right out in the open. People are celebrating this, and of course, celebrating a lot of other debauchery as well. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, notice it says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So the source of our struggle, this is what the apostle is talking about, the source of our struggle is not people. That doesn't mean that we don't struggle against people. He's saying the origin, and he's going to let us in on the truth behind it in the rest of this verse. But what he's going to tell us is it's spiritual. Our enemies reside in the spiritual dimension, in the spiritual realm. But they manifest themselves through people, all right? So we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. Find that one, rulers, against the powers, not just powers, against powers, but the Antarctic power. Has some very specific power in mind here. The general term. He says against the powers, against the world forces. The world is under control. Powers and these world forces are controlling the world. But these world forces, notice again, of not generic, darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness that reside in places. In other words, another dimension. They move in and out of our dimension, space, time, matter, dimension, ability to move, and they manipulate people. Wow. Some people hear this and they think, what we need to do, Pastor Mike, is we just need to love people. We just need to love everybody and things will be just fine. Let me tell you something, Christian, if that's you, you cannot love the spirit of iniquity. Not love a demon. So stop that thinking because it's wrong. It's not biblical and you're being played. What you need to do is rebuke that in the name of Jesus and then take against that spirit. We need to do. And this is especially important when we think or talk about the subject of pedophilia. Evil, wickedness, iniquity, it is manifested in people. Now, whether they're a willing or unwitting accomplice, it is still manifested through people. We are up to our eyebrows, folks, up to our eyebrows in a demonic battle. America is being systematically choked to death. And a big part of the reason is because the church is silent. The church is silent. We have not taken up the challenge. Folks, I want you to do something for me, and I'm going to bring my brother David on here now in just a moment. But I want you to do something for me this week. Next time that you attend a service with your local fellowship, I want you to ask your pastor. I want you to ask your pastor, will he start speaking out against the evil and the wickedness that we see in America? Will he start talking about issues like pedophilia? Ask him if he will do that. And if he will not, then have a follow-up question. Why not? Why won't you take this on? And this isn't the only subject, but you can start there. Why won't you take this on? And if he says that it's too controversial, then you've got a decision to make. You got a decision to make. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but I am going to tell you the truth. If you will not speak out against evil, against wickedness, pastor or ministry leader, Bible study leader, if you won't speak out against this, why are you in the pulpit? Why are you in the pulpit? America needs pastors who are going to speak up, speak out, tell the truth, arm the believer for what we're facing. Pedophilia is being normalized today in America, right in front of our eyes. And for a pastor to say, I'm not going to speak about this because it's too controversial, that is dereliction of duty, in my opinion. And I think you're going to have to answer for that, ministry leader. Jared, let's start off before we bring David on. Let's look at that first video clip. This is the pedophile agenda, and you can find this on the Fuel Project YouTube channel.
Towards accepting and normalizing pedophilia. The first time was in the Stay Free series, and then the second time was in the War and Truth series. My reasoning for saying it in Stay Free was basically that we are watching the moral breakdown of our society today. The West has rejected God, rejected Christianity, rejected the moral underpinnings of our civilization that's guided us for 2,000 years, and therefore we're starting to see our civilization fall apart. One of the key signs that a civilization is indeed unraveling, and we see this time and time again from history, is that it starts to accept and promote sexual confusion. The most famous example from history is, of course, the Roman Empire. Historians have agreed for centuries that when the Romans started normalizing sexual confusion, it was an outward sign of inner moral decay that signaled that their civilization did not have long to go. That, I believe, is what we are witnessing in the West today. came across this video recently from Camille Paglia that adds weight to that concept.
On androgyny, I've always been fascinated, attracted, you know, to the subject of androgyny, and that's what sexual persona is. I explored it in history, but the more I explored it, I realized that that historically, the movement toward androgyny occurs in late phases of culture. Okay, as a civilization is starting to unravel. Okay, and that you can find it again and again and again through history in the Greek art. Okay, you can see it happening. All of a sudden, okay, there's a kind of the sculptures of handsome nude young men athletes that used to be very robust. Okay, in the archaic period, suddenly began to seem like wet noodles. Okay, toward the end. Okay, and that the people who live in such periods, a late phase of culture. Whether it's the Hellenistic era, whether it's the Roman Empire, whether it's the Mauve decade of Oscar Wilde in the 1890s, whether it's Weimar Germany, people who live in such times, okay, feel that they're very sophisticated, they're very cosmopolitan, okay, and homosexuality, heterosexuality, so what, anything goes, and so on, all right, but from the perspective of historical distance, okay, you can see that it's a culture that no longer believes in itself.
So sexual degradation, sexual confusion is a sign that culture is starting to break down. And although Camille Paglia didn't actually say it, what we see from history is that the advanced stages of that breakdown do tend to involve an acceptance of paedophilia. And then the second reason for predicting the eventual approval of paedophilia, and this is what I spoke about in the War and Truth series, is that the same arguments and the same set of liberal values that were used to successfully push the gay marriage agenda, those same arguments, those same values also hold true for the paedophile agenda. See, our culture has decided that the only value that we need is love. Therefore, if something is deemed a valid expression of love, then to this generation, it must be a good thing. Man and a woman, two men, two women, three men, doesn't matter to this generation. Love is love. Love is all that matters, and no argument can stand against that in the postmodern era. You can counter-appeal to righteousness, you can counter-appeal to holiness, you can counter-appeal to truth and data and statistics, but none of it will matter. Our culture has decided that love has no connection to any of those other values, and these other values certainly don't hold as much weight. Therefore, if paedophiles can successfully convince the world that their proclivity is just a natural expression of love, that they were born that way, that they're just a poor, marginalized minority who just want to love, that's all they would need to do to turn the tide in their favor in this generation. That's all the homosexual lobby had to do to turn the tide in their favor. That's all the paedophile lobby would need to do also. The gay lobby has shown them the way in this. They've shown them how to do this. So that's how we predicted they would go about it in the War on Truth. Phase one, they would need to start trying to present themselves to the world in a more sympathetic light. Start trying to pull heartstrings. Start saying that they're marginalized and sad and say it's natural and just a valid expression of love and say that you can't help how you feel. Say these things and they will soon have the postmodernist sympathy, as shocking as that currently sounds to us. And that's in spite of the facts, that's in spite of morality, that's in spite of everything else, because frankly, the postmodernist doesn't give equal weight to any other value. In fact, this is how I said it would happen in the War and Truth series. Here's how it would likely happen. Left-leaning intellectuals will begin proposing with increasing boldness that paedophilia is just a natural proclivity. They will say that paedophiles are just a misunderstood, marginalized minority who deserve equality. Maybe a high-profile story will hit the news that will portray it in a sympathetic light. Perhaps a poster couple will emerge for the movement, and they'll tour the media channel saying that they're really in love and it's an arrangement that works for them. New studies will be done that conclude that since the Greeks and Romans and other ancient civilizations engaged in paedophilia, it must be natural. After it's been framed in this sympathetic way, the herd, not wanting to be seen as intolerant or bigoted or out of step with the groupthink, will then begin to support paedophile rights. Attitudes will relax, it will become more widely accepted in public, and anyone who opposes it will then be shouted down as an intolerant paedophobe. Those in power will come out as paedophiles themselves and they'll change the laws to suit their appetites. It will pass from rightly being seen as an evil to being seen as an unfortunate disorder, to just being seen as a legitimate expression of love. From an evil to an unfortunate disorder worthy of our sympathy, to a legitimate expression of love. That's the sequence, I believe, that we're going to see pursued in the future. Now, the reason I'm making this video today is that just last week, a friend of this ministry notified me that this is already starting to pick up pace, and they are indeed using these exact tactics to try to turn the tide of public opinion. Firstly, they're now actively vying to be included under the LGBT umbrella. Secondly, they're rebranding themselves with more politically correct speech, calling themselves not paedophiles anymore, but instead minor attracted persons. Thirdly, they've adopted a version of the rainbow flag with soft pastel colours. And then fourthly, liberal academics are indeed already trying to present them in a more sympathetic light. What follows are clips from a TED Talk given just last month at the University of Würzburg.
Let me tell you about Jonas. Jonas is 19 years old. He studies law in Munich. In his spare time, he likes to play soccer. Jonas has a secret which he thinks he cannot share with anyone, not even with his best friend or with his parents. He's just too afraid of anger, rejection, and repulsion. Jonas knows that he has to suppress his sexual drive for his entire life, and he also knows that there will never be a loving and fulfilling partnership that he can enter. Because Jonas is a pedophile. He's only attracted to female children between the ages of 6 and 12 years. Like every other sexual orientation, pedophilia can have different characteristics. For example, it can be heterosexual, it can be homosexual, bisexual. Within the male population, 1 to 2% are considered to be pedophiles. This translates to about 60 million people worldwide. This is as much as the population of Italy or of South Africa. Therefore, pedophilia is not an irrelevant phenomenon we can't simply ignore. Chances every one of you knows at least one pedophile are higher than that you don't know anyone. So generally speaking, anyone could be born a pedophile. It is crucial to understand the difference between pedophilia and child sexual abuse, which is illegal and must always be. Pedophilia is only the sexual preference for pre-adolescent children. The difference between child sexual abuse and pedophilia becomes very obvious when we look at scientific studies. Scientific studies indicate that only 20 to 30% of all child molesters are pedophiles. Not every pedophile abuses children. And not everyone who abuses children is a pedophile. Differentiating between these two groups is essential. Pedophilia is an unchangeable sexual orientation, just like, for example, heterosexuality. No one chooses to be a pedophile. No one can cease being one. Scientific studies indicate that one of the strongest predictors for child sexual abuse committed by pedophiles is social isolation. We can make a difference for Jonas. We, as a society, can be there for him. At the moment, we live in a world that already excludes pedophiles because of their preference alone. Someone who is lonely and excluded from society has little to lose and is at much higher risk to commit a crime, like, for example, child sexual abuse. We can make Jonas feel that he stays a valuable member of our society, although he's a pedophile.
Okay, Jared.
Right now.
There. Okay, folks, how many, just do a quick unscientific survey. How many of you... How many of you have elevated blood pressure right now because of the string, I mean the string, repeated one after another, blatant lies. Well, that's me. And I've already watched this, and it still frustrates me. Listen, I stopped it there, and we're going to move on and bring my friend David Arthur in. I stopped there because essentially what she's saying is that it's our fault that they're pedophiles. Did you pick up on that? It's our fault that they're pedophiles. Folks, the rulers, the powers, the world forces of darkness that I pointed out in Ephesians chapter 12, they are assaulting Christianity in America. This is a full-on frontal invasion of America with this kind of demonic thinking. Why here and why now? Well, as I was thinking about that, the answer I came up with is the prince of the power of the air knows that his time is coming very, very near to where he is going to be destroyed. Now, my friend and brother David Arthur is a man who has seen this firsthand, the homosexual community and their agenda. Many of these points that were made in this brief look at this video, I've heard David make these very same points in his presentations and in his talks that he's done. David's been delivered from the darkness to the marvelous light that is Jesus Christ. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. You know, I have to say one thing. If you abuse children sexually, you are a pedophile.
Yes.
Every time I watch that video, that is the one thing.
Yeah.
Not the one thing, because there's many one things, but that is the one thing that just gets me. It's, you know, they said, well, if not all pedophiles abuse children, and not all people who abuse children are pedophiles. No, that's a bold-faced lie from the pit of hell.
Yes.
If you abuse a child, if you think about abusing a child, if you have temptations towards a child, you are a pedophile. The only good thing I have to say is that there's freedom for you in this gospel in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You know, yeah. Nothing matters anymore, Pastor Mike, but thoughts and feelings. That's it. There are no absolute truths, because it's not about the truth. It's about what we think, what we feel, and we can't offend anyone, you know. And like I said, like we were talking about Sunday, the American Psychiatric Association changed the wording in the APA book in 2012 from pedophile, from a mental disorder, to an adult child relationship. So they did that in 72 with homosexual. And so we see it took 45 years to get from where it was in 1972 to where it is now with this LGBTP for pedophile movement. We see that where it is now. And it's laid this foundation for the pedophile movement to step right out in the open, in the limelight, and say, you can't do anything to me, because I'm protected. That's a hate crime. Mm-hmm. If you say that I'm sick and I'm disgusting because I like children, that's a hate crime. You can go to jail for that. You see, with the whole agenda, what it comes down to, Jared, I sent you an email with a couple pictures. Could you put up the one from the book After the Ball? But the whole point is to exactly take away all of our rights. Well, let's look at that one. Hold on, Jared. Let's look at that. There's an 8-year-old boy. His name is Ethan. Mm-hmm. He's learned how to become an LGBT drag queen makeup artist. Notice him in the arms of the man behind him. Okay. There are tons of things, but there's a book. We spoke about this too Sunday. There's a book called After the Ball, Well, there's a page in After the Ball that says, now the After the Ball is what the homosexual community considers their Bible. Okay. So in order to desensitize America, they said their self-policing social goal, and we go down to where it's circled. It says, if I am a pederast or a pedophile or a sadomasochist, I'll keep it under wraps and out of the gay pride marches. Not if you're a pederast or a sadomasochistic, you cannot be involved. You need help, but I'll keep it under wraps and out of the gay pride marches. And I want to just change that. It's the homosexual pride marches because they're not gay. They're homosexual. They're not gay. I'm gay, but I wasn't gay when I was a homosexual.
Amen. Amen.
What they're saying here is, and they did it with their agenda with the overhauling of straight America. They took their agenda and they said that if you are a pedophile, or if you are associated with NAMBLA, the National Association for Man Boy Love, or any other group like that, we have to disassociate ourselves with you for now, because we will never be able to desensitize America if they are if they compare us to homosexuals. I mean, to pedophiles. So they had to separate themselves from all these pederast groups in order to desensitize America, which they've done. They've used all of they've used Hollywood and these the apostate churches and all of these other venues and methods to desensitize everybody. They have everybody wanting to protect the homosexuals. Protect them because it's not their fault they're homosexuals. They're born that way. Well, I don't even argue with them anymore. If you think that you were born a pedophile, okay. Jesus said be born again.
Amen.
It's yeah. That simple. But, and Jerry, if you show a few of them pictures that I sent you, these are some of the things, these are real deal. These are from, that's probably, that looks like one of my PowerPoint slides that nobody can read. These are off of real social media. The girl lover logo depicted below is a small heart surrounded by a larger heart, which symbolizes a relationship between an adult male or female and minor girl. Go ahead to the next one. Sandusky child abuse investigation. I mean, everybody knew about that, right? Involuntary deviant sexual intercourse, 7 counts. Aggravated indecent assault, 1 count. Corruption of minors, 8 counts. Unlawful contact with a minor, 8 counts. Endangering the welfare of a child, 8 counts. Indecent assault, 7 counts. Attempt to commit indecent assault, 1 count. And Oprah Winfrey and some other deviant, One World Order, was sitting with Jerry Sandusky at an awards show not that long ago. You know, because they don't care. They accept it. Pedophilia should be a part of the gay movement. It must be legally recognized as a wider sexual liberation. This was in Australia. And this is Gary Dowsett, who stands up, who stands with a group called Safe Schools. So they want pedophilia in the schools. There will be no more. This is one of their ads for Heart Progress. Love has no age. Both are minority sexual orientation groups with a history of discrimination. This is a doctor posting this on his social media. We are committed to fight for the rights of pedosexuality. Time to educate you on this. If a child is able to think for themselves, then they can consent to it. Some as young as 5 and some older. These are social media. This one, this woman needs to be, I won't even go there. Why can't my brother Joey and my daughter Teresa engage in intimacy? Why does my government want to regulate who we can and cannot be with? Her daughter. The LGBT pedophile activists have reached new lows. This degeneracy is unacceptable. They're attempting to normalize pedophilia and incest the same way they've done with bestiality and necrophilia and sadomasochism and bondage and discipline and everything else. The same. It's the same method, and it's going to be the same outcome. No more laws to protect children. And when it comes down to it, who's to blame? See, they want us to think that it's our fault that pedophiles are pedophiles. Well, in a way it is, because it's our fault for allowing them to be and for allowing them to get as far as they've gotten. It's our fault. It's the people we put in office. It's the people who are in office. It's the people who we don't do anything against. It's the school system that we don't go down there and bust through the local school meeting. It's the teachers that don't stand up because they're too worried about their career. It's the doctors who don't want to lose their job or get sued. It's all of our fault. So yeah, in a way, it is our fault that they're all pedophiles and homosexuals and lost and on their way straight to hell. It is our fault. Because we're not doing anything to oppose it and to stand up and push back.
David, let me jump in here for a second. And I think what needs to be said at this time, folks, if you're listening, watching this, either in the queue or on any of the platforms that it's being broadcast live, and you want to have David come to your church and make a presentation on this subject and a wide, broad range of information. It's called the Residue Program. We'll get into that in a little bit. You can be free from whatever addiction or brokenness that you happen to be in bondage to. David's program Residue, I don't want to mislabel it, David, and I'll let you speak yourself for it. But Residue is a broad program that really talks about removing every stronghold in your life, every stronghold. It isn't just sexual sins. It can be drug addictions. It could be any number of things. But David has a background and a story to tell. And that is what makes him a powerful witness against the homosexual lifestyle. And so my challenge to you that are out there watching this, invite David to come to your church. Now, I would encourage you to let your pastor know what David's all about, because when he comes, there's a good chance that most of the people in the congregation, they're going to be very surprised that anybody has the courage to speak about these things. Well, I can tell you from experience, David has the courage to speak about these things, and he will do it. But he does it in a way, it's a beautiful, godly, Christ-like way. He just gently confronts people and tells them, God didn't make you that way. These things that you're experiencing and trying to manifest, God didn't do that. That's not who God made you to be. So David, how can people contact you if they want to invite you to come speak at their church?
Well, it could be through the IBelongAmen.com website or the AlphabetManLive.com website. As for the Residue, Residue will have its own website hopefully soon, and we're working on all the details for that. But, you know, there's such a power in being able to walk up to a pedophile or a transgender prostitute or a homosexual drug addict, alcoholic, deviant, and step up to them and put your hand on their shoulder and tell them how they're feeling, mm-hmm. what they're thinking, what they've been through. And I can tell them all about them by telling them about me.
Amen.
And there's nothing like it, Pastor Mike, when they look at you and say, yeah, I was molested into this movement, what the movement calls recruited, or, yeah, I know that God didn't really create me to be this way, but I'm comfortable here.
Yeah. We're up against the forces of darkness, brothers and sisters, the world forces of darkness. Ephesians 6:12 says the spiritual forces of wickedness. And they have a lot of accompaniment. They have a lot of accomplices. Our media is one of them. Jared, let's get ready to play that second clip. Folks, you need to understand something, and that is that Christians especially need to start listening to truth tellers. You need to start listening to men and women who speak from out of the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit, biblical truth, and you'll know it when you hear it. But I think you also know, because the Holy Spirit lives within us, you know when you're listening to a cart full of baloney. I'll put it that way, just to be nice. You know when you're listening to something that's not right. And so I want to encourage Christian America, stop listening to these charlatans. Stop listening to these snake oil salesmen. Stop listening to these people that are just trying to sell you something that they might benefit. And you start listening to God's true shepherds, and you will know who they are because of the Spirit within you. I want to touch on Alex Jones, and I don't really care what you think about Alex Jones. That's not important. What is important is this. The reason that Alex Jones has been banned, and a number of others, but I'll use Alex Jones as an illustration. The reason that he's been banned across every media platform is because he had enough of the truth that it made the corporatists very, very nervous, and to the point where they didn't know what else to do with him. Listen, they tried to ridicule him. The whole tinfoil hat conspiracy thing, that wore out. They couldn't ridicule him anymore. They couldn't threaten him. The only thing they really could do is ban him. And so that's what they did. They banned him. But folks, I can tell you something. He was first, but they're going to come after all of us eventually. This program right here, I wouldn't be surprised if one day it's banned from Facebook, it's banned from YouTube. Somebody will find out about it. Somebody will hear we're speaking the truth, and the corporatists will boot us off. You can ask Coach Dave about that. They've already done it. You can ask David Arthur about that. They've already done it. But listen, keep speaking the truth. Even though there's a concerted effort to shut us down and shut us up, we will not shut up, and we will not stand down. We will instead stand firm against the evil that we see happening in America today. Jared, let's play this second clip.
Be a trend in legacy media to bury or even delete stories related to pedophile arrests, like this story about the pedophile ring in Norway that involved 47 people so far and included members of the elite, lawyers, and politicians. Not only was this story scrubbed from the Washington Post, ABC News, New York Times, the New York Times also published a conspiracy theory claiming that a new trick of the Russians, the same Russians the legacy media will tell you run our news site, blackpill.com, and the same Russians the legacy media blames for the election results, are now going around planting child porn on people's computers. In addition to promoting this conspiracy theory, perhaps to prepare the public to accept the idea that even finding child porn on someone's computer could be explained away by blaming the Russians, some media outlets are even beginning to publish stories sympathetic to pedophiles in what seems like an effort to remove the stigma of pedophilia. One of legacy media's aging stars, Stephen Colbert, took to the airwaves to mock people that have an interest or are participating in the controversial Pizzagate investigation. Of course, Colbert never directly addresses any of the facts, nor does he disclose that in an email released by WikiLeaks, it was revealed that he takes marching orders from Craig Manassian, who works for the Clinton Foundation. In an email dated April 10, 2013, Manassian emailed John Podesta to ask him if he'd had a chance to see the two special episodes he'd had them do about the Clinton Global Initiative. You know, this episode.
I assume that many of you in this room are here for the Clinton Global Initiative University.
The entire episode was one big PR stunt to promote the Clintons' various foundations.
You started the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Global Initiative, the Clinton Health Access Initiative, the Clinton Economic Opportunity Initiative, the Clinton Climate Initiative, and more that I can't fit here.
And then they managed to work in a commercial for Twitter.
Would you like to break into the 21st century right now and send your first tweet?
Because when it comes to the legacy media, even their fake news is fake. How's that for some truthiness, Steve? These false accusations of fake news are an all-out attack on free speech and are being used as an excuse to censor the internet. And they know better than anyone that information is power. And now that power is yours.
Thank you,
Jim. If you like our videos, please...
Folks, again, let me say this as clearly as I can. David, I want you to jump back in here in just a moment. If your church, if your pastor is not talking about these things, then I want you to contact him and I want you to ask him why. I want you to ask him why. Because you see, we can do this show, we can put together this information, and believe me, I like the research, I like presenting it, but if there's no action, if there's no follow-up, if there's nothing that's going to be done, if you're just gonna file it away, oh man, that was really good, but we're not gonna do anything with it, then folks, what's the point? Seriously, we are long past time where we can just file away information and say, that was really good. How about if we take it to our pastors and our ministry leaders? How about if we take it to our family, whom we know have a very different opinion on these subjects than we do? How about if we go to them in love and present the truth and say, how can you think that way in light of this? And be prepared to offer a defense, an explanation for why these things are wrong. That's what Christians are supposed to be doing, and especially in this day and time. That's one reason why I appreciate David Arthur so much, is that he's not afraid to look wickedness in the eye and say, you can change. You can change. David, jump back in here and share a little bit about Residue, what it is, what you're trying to accomplish, and when that might be available for people to engage in group studies.
You know, Pastor Mike, I have to say that it is so easy for me to do what I do, because I know the power. I've seen the power, I've experienced the power, but I know that because I was on my deathbed and at that moment I accepted that my life was over. I didn't ask God to heal me, you know, none of that. I just knew that my life was over. But because of that, I know that my life right now is no longer my own. So every breath I have belongs to him. So that's what makes it so easy for me to do what I do. But we talked about this just today on my show when we were talking about Residue. And you know why a lot of these pastors and these ministry leaders and these people don't want to address this?
Why is that, David?
Because they're trapped in that bondage themselves. They themselves are having homosexual affairs or desires, pedophilia desires. Though these people themselves are dealing with these issues and don't want to invite it into their church because they don't want to be confronted on their issues. Yeah. It is exactly what I said. I went to speak at a church one time and the deacon was one of my old clients.
Wow.
And he didn't know who I was until they showed my picture behind me. And I knew when they showed my picture behind me because of the color that ran out of his face and the
scar
that broke out on his brow. So it's not being let in because they're dealing with the same things. That's why it's important to know that there's freedom from all of these strongholds. You see, residue, the Lord designed residue, and he designed it so that the lost can be introduced to Jesus in the process of discovering who they were created to be.
Amen.
But he designed it for the saved so that they can rediscover who he intended and created them to be from the very beginning. And so in Jesus. And so as they learn this, what they're who and what they're created to be, who their identity is in Jesus Christ, because, see, that's our problem right now, is that we've all have an identity issue because our identity has been stolen.
Yep.
You know, and so now we're going to take back our identity because Jesus is going to allow us through the word and through what we've been designed for, which is the fellowship with brothers and sisters, he's going to allow us through that for us to rediscover who and what we were created to be in him. And that's what Residue does. Residue is a 9-step, 10-lesson program. Each lesson has many lessons in itself and questions, and it's just designed for men and women to have a men's group and a women's group, and to learn how to be transparent and open and honest. And when we experience those things, see, transparency is the key. When I can walk up to somebody on the street that I don't know and tell them that I was a molested 14-year-old transgender homosexual prostitute with HIV trying to infect everyone I could and started having desires for young boys. When I can tell them that and watch them, how they look at me, and then hear the things that they share with me that they would never speak otherwise, that tells me that this is what God designed for each of us. It's that honesty, it's that transparency, it's that it's not about us, it's about who we're dealing with. You know, everyone tries to esteem themselves better than everybody else, but he tells us to esteem others above ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what Residue is about. How about that? I don't have a Residue book on my desk, and I've had one on my desk for 3 days, and I don't have one now. But Residue is a 9-step program. There are books, and we are going to do a DVD. We're gonna have a lesson, a DVD lesson for every step. Those lessons will be the DVD will be done soon. But it will be available in October, sometime in October. It will be available for purchase. What I'm working on is because I want to make it more affordable. You know, I know that somebody might want to order it and say, okay, I'm going to have 20 people in the group, so I'm going to order 20 books, but I don't want you to have to order 20 $20 books. I want you to be able to order 5 of the thicker books like Pastor Mike just showed. And then I'm working on a more affordable 8.5 by 11 workbook, which is all the same content, but it would be more affordable for the people that come into the group and then leave the group or never return. And, you know, I want to make it affordable and I want to make it feasible. I want to make it so that people anywhere can do it, because freedom is free. Freedom is free. Freedom don't cost money. I remember the first time I reached out to an ex-homosexual ministry, and they said to me, well, first you have to take our course, our training course, and it's $750. And I said, I don't have $750. I'm on a fixed income. And they said, well, go ask your church. But never once, well, don't worry about it. We want you to train because, you know, of your history. Well, go ask your church. They'll help you. And, you don't go to church? Oh, well, we can work out payment arrangements. Well, no. You know what? Freedom is free. And I want to make this program available for everybody. Hoping to launch a group here in Mount Vernon for anybody and everybody that comes through the door to get involved in the program, and we'll provide the books and the journals and the work materials. Because my only goal here is to allow God to be glorified, and He's going to be glorified when these people start walking out of this death style. And all of these death styles, because anything that you do that is outside of Jesus Christ, anything that you're doing that does not glorify God, that leads to death, is a death style.
Yes.
So as they start coming out of that death style, out of the darkness into the light, and just surrendering to Jesus, that's my goal. That's all I want to get out of it. I just want to see it. I just want to see a few more. That's it. And that's all I care about. That's it. Nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, friends, here's who we are. Here's who we are, according to the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And here's our assignment, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The burning desire in my heart, and I pray that it is the burning desire in your heart, is to see the darkness dispelled in the hearts and the minds of people. That's David's desire. I've come to know David very well. He is a man that's on a mission. God has given him an assignment. He can speak into the darkness because he knows what that darkness is like. He was there himself one time. And people will listen to that. So I'm asking you, Christian, brother or sister, who is it, whose life can you speak into? What light can you take into the darkness of someone's life? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's somebody that you met recently. You don't really know them, but you know they're struggling and they're living in darkness. Here's your assignment this week, besides going to talk to your pastor. Bring the message Jesus saves into somebody's life. And I don't care if they blow you off, because guess what? It might take 7 or 8 times for you to talk to them before they'll become interested and want to listen. Show some perseverance. Show them that you care. Show them that you are genuinely interested in seeing their lives changed, because that's what's going to happen if you'll persevere and continue to preach Jesus. Folks, I appreciate you joining me today. Please also check out other websites. DrMikeSpalding.com is my blog. TheTransformingWord.com is the sermon archive. And also go to SoaringEagleRadio.com. That's my radio show and podcast. Got a lot of irons in the fire. And so I want to say a special thank you to my wife, Kathy, because she keeps all of that content moving and flowing through all of these websites, all of these different ministry outreach. I do have a Patreon page if you would consider supporting me in this growing and expanding ministry. And that's weird even saying that. But if you're interested in doing that, all of those websites, I have a Patreon page. You can do that. I appreciate you joining me today for this episode of Dr. Mike Live. And we will be back next week, because we've only scratched the surface in the presentation of truth in the dark days that we live in. And remember, folks, Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, let me distill that down for you. That's my favorite passage in all the scripture, by the way, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And here's the distilled meaning of both of those verses. Renewing our minds is not an option. God bless you guys. I'll see you next Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join me, will you? God bless you.